It was a big game. It was a game against the best baseball team in the league. They were called Missouri Savings. My team, 7-Up, wasn't very good. We had never beat Missouri Savings, and we were losing this game 2-0. Now, I don't remember the inning, but I do know that I came up to bat with a runner on first. And the pitcher that day was a guy named Tom, and Tom was the best pitcher in the league. He threw really hard, and typically, I struck out against Tom. Well, as I was batting, Tom reared back and he threw a fastball right down the middle of the plate. And I swung hard. I swung with everything in me. And that's not me. And I hit the ball. I hit it a long way. It actually went out in the left field. It went over the left fielder's head. There wasn't a fence, so it landed and it just kept rolling. And it rolled all the way to the parking lot. I put my head down and I ran as fast as I could, and I didn't stop running until I got to third base. And all the 7-Up family and friends stood on their feet and applauded and cheered. I heard their cheers. It was an amazing moment. And I think the only person that was more shocked than me about my hit was the pitcher, Tom. He was so rattled that the next batter up, he threw a pitch immediately in the dirt. It got past the catcher. I raced home and scored, and the game was tied 2-2. I was the hero of the moment. I was a winner. And later, I got another hit off of Tom, a single. But I was stranded at first base, and so the game stayed tied 2-2 until the bottom of the 11th inning. And that's when everything changed. I was at my usual position of first base, and with one out and a runner on third, the ball by the Missouri Savings batter was hit over my head. I went back, but it landed in no man's land between the right fielder and me. I got to the ball first, and I picked it up, and I turned, and I threw towards home with everything I had in me. The throw arrived at the same time as the runner. But there was a problem. And the problem, my throw was high. It was really high. It went over the catcher's head. It hit the backstop. The run scored, and we lost 3-2. I remember walking back to the bench with my head down, but what happened next was so devastating. One of our coaches yelled at me. He said, "Mark, you cost us the game." I went from being cheered to jeered in just a few innings of a baseball game. I had to fight back the tears because one of the greatest moments of my Little League baseball career ended in disaster. Just goes to show you, life can change in a hurry. Confirmands, this devotion is for you. Today, you are going to publicly profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I guarantee you there are going to be cheers. It's going to be a great moment. You're in the spotlight. But I also want to tell you that life is filled also with jeers and tears. They're unavoidable. But this little devotion this morning isn't just for the confirmands. It's actually for all of us. Every one of us in life has experienced times where we felt the cheers, but also the jeers, and there were times that we shed tears. And Jesus experienced all three of those too. He actually did it all on that first Palm Sunday. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, Luke wrote that the people spread their cloaks out on the road. They put their outer clothing to make a carpet, a triumphal carpet for Jesus. It was a display of their submission to him as their king. They cheered for Jesus. Now, you got to know, this wasn't the first time that the Jewish people had shown such great respect. If you go back in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13, King Jehu received a similar welcome. It says, "The people quickly spread out their cloaks on the bare step and blew the horns, shouting, 'Jehu is king.'" And as I thought about these two passages this week, Jesus' triumphal entry and Jehu's entry, it made me realize something about my boys when they were younger. See, I would come home from work and see clothes strewn out all over the floor in front of me. And I didn't realize it, but my boys were honoring me as the royal master of the household. And if I'm honest, I think I did that to my parents as well. Well, the other gospel writers add that the people also laid branches on the road before Jesus. John specifically refers to there being palm branches. And for the Jewish people, the palm branch was a symbol of national pride. They were displayed after a battle victory or during a festival. They were even imprinted on their coins and used for decoration in their synagogues. Matthew 21:8 says that the crowds that went before and after Jesus were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Luke added these words. He said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." You've been hearing and singing a lot of Hosannas this morning, and Hosanna is the Hebrew word for "O save, I pray." See, they prayed for Jesus to save them. They saw Jesus as their Messiah, and the Jewish people longed for a Messiah. And so they cheered Jesus. This was one of the greatest days of Jewish history. And it was a great day, but not for the reasons that the Jewish people expected. See, in their eyes, the Messiah was going to be a political and military leader. They expected the Messiah to lead them into battle, to conquer their enemies, specifically the Romans. Well, the truth is, Jesus was and is the Messiah, but he wasn't what the people expected, but he does save. The Palm Sunday cheers later turned to jeers as the people demanded Jesus be crucified. He really wasn't what they expected. And it's a lesson to us that cheers can turn to jeers. And not everybody on that first Palm Sunday was cheering Jesus. In Luke 19:39, as you heard read a few minutes ago, it says, "And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.'" The Pharisees were basically saying, "Jesus, tell your people to stop praising you." And those were the jeers of the religious leaders. See, they didn't want Jesus to be called the Messiah. They feared that the Roman rulers might respond to such a claim. Would the Roman rulers want to crush the Jewish people because they're claiming a new king? After all, the Roman emperor was to be the only king. And of course, the Pharisees also were jealous of Jesus. He threatened the status quo. He was emerging as the religious leader of the time. And Jesus had the nerve to publicly correct the Pharisees' thinking in front of others. The Pharisees would lose power if Jesus continued his rise. And they were determined that wasn't going to happen. If you read a little later in Luke chapter 19, it says the chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy Jesus. The first Palm Sunday also brought tears. In Luke 19:41, it says, "And when Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, 'Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace.'" Jesus knew the people would turn on him. He knew that destruction was headed for Jerusalem, but Jesus still loved them. Earlier in Luke 13:34, Jesus lamented over Jerusalem, saying, "How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings?" Jesus wept over people who were going to turn their backs on him. And today, Jesus still mourns those who turn their backs toward God. You know, sometimes our tears, though, are actually turned back. Our tears are turned back to cheers. My Little League baseball story did actually have a good ending. It didn't happen that day, but years later, that same guy, Tom, was pitching for our high school team. Tom was dating a girl that I knew. And one day at school, there were a group of us talking, and Tom's girlfriend was amongst the group. So was an old friend of mine who played on 7-Up all those years ago. And at one point in the conversation, my friend looked directly at me And he smiled. And then he looked at Tom's girlfriend and he said, "You know, Mark here hit a triple and a single off your boyfriend." And that's all he said. And it was enough. The girl was shocked, but she was also impressed, and so was everybody else. Suddenly, I felt the cheers again. I really was a winner. The jeers and the tears were forgotten. In this life, we will see cheers. We will face jeers. And tears are inevitable. Confirmands, as we said before, in a few minutes, we're going to cheer you on. We are so proud of you. You're taking a public stand for Jesus Christ. And we pray that going forward, your whole life will shout the words, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus deserves our cheers. And just as not everybody was happy with Jesus on that first day, on that first Palm Sunday, people still oppose Christianity. And they will oppose you. They've exchanged the truth for lies. But don't respond to their ridicule with anger. Stand for the truth, but stand for the truth in love and in compassion. And Jesus also wept over Jerusalem. And that brings us to a question that all of us have to answer. Do we love others so much that it's painful, that it brings us pain and sadness when they turn their back on God? Never give up on people. Show them the truth of Jesus Christ in your actions and by your words. Keep inviting them to church. Pray for them. Be kind to them. And always remember, confirmands, you are a child of the King. You got a lot of fans here this morning, but Jesus is your biggest fan, and he's cheering for you today and every day of your life. And with Jesus, you're always a winner. Amen. This time, confirmands, the moment of truth. Come on up. All of you to begin with.